Why do you want to have a baby with me? You can't stand me.
That's not true. Why don't you let me fix you some of this new Mococo drink? All natural cocoa beans from the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua, no artificial sweeteners.
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
I've tasted other cocos. This is the best.
What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
Well, you're having a nervous breakdown. That's what's happening.
You're part of this, aren't you?
Woman!
Meryl!
You are scaring me!
No. You're scaring me, Meryl. What are you going to do? Dice me? Slice me or peel me? There's so many choices!
No! Do something!
What? What'd you say? Who are you talking to?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Welcome to the Honey Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is the Honey Movie Podcast.
A much healthier Honey Movie Podcast?
Yes, a very much healthier movie podcast.
He survived scurvy. Can you believe it? Magic. Turns out orange juice.
So I won't ask Douglas because I know he didn't listen, right? But Damian.
Yes.
Was I too on the nose with my clip last week?
With the first one, yes. So the intro clip was from there was one from 50-50.
Mm-hmm. I never watched that movie.
There was one from Funny People.
Oh, the actual clip was from Funny People. I made a 50-50 joke while we were talking.
So it's all sick quotes. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
I mean, he wasn't specifically on the nose about, like, he didn't pick a clip where someone was dying, but he picked a clip where people were laughing at people who were dying. So
fuck you very much, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, scurvy doesn't kill people anymore, so how did you even get scurvy? That's my question.
Well, you see,
Aren't pirates of the 1800s only supposed to get that?
That's what I'm saying. The night before, I went on a boat, and I rubbed somebody the wrong way, and I ended up licking the deck.
So for people who don't live in Jamaica, the boat is a low-end strip club in New Kingston.
Okay, so I'm going to ask just to make sure. David, is this true? Because I wouldn't know anyway.
No, the boat is not. You've known me long enough. You know better than that.
He only goes to the ones in Portmore.
Thank you. Holly Royal is my joint.
Oh man.
Two people are laughing at that joke. So this week I'll start.
So hold on. Before we start, mm-hmm. I want to really just pause and give a shout out, a plug. By the time this episode is out, it's not up right now as we're recording, but by the time I put out this episode, my guest on the Matinee Cast will be up. And for all of you people who've been listening to Damian and myself mostly for the last 8 months, glorify this film. You will get to hear me inject this movie into the dark of the matinee, where I finally get Ryan to watch the FP. It's a glorious episode, I'd like to say, so please go and listen to that.
My only question to you is, did he like it?
Everyone likes it. There's no one that does not like the FP, Douglas.
Andrew,
I really, I, he he likes it the correct way, but will not admit it. But will not admit it.
That is all I need to know.
It's kind of like someone who says this movie is bad, and then when we're done talking, he's like, I get you, and I agree.
I see.
Guys, the name of the movie is the FP. If you walk into this movie and expect anything that is not the FP, then you should stop watching movies.
Look, when I first brought it up to him, it was me telling his wife, the one who came on the podcast and started glowing about Airborne with us, where I'm like, look, you will love this movie. Ryan, stop listening to me. You, Lindsay, will love this movie.
Does he have more than one wife? Wives?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't everybody?
I only met one, but...
Because you said that the one that came on, so the other one didn't.
There's no law that prevents you from having more than one wife. Oh wait.
All right, so we can go back to podcast like normal. All
right, so go Damien, what did you watch this week?
Yeah. All right, so this week Wednesday, Sony put out a 2-hour movie where they said in no uncertain terms, throw that black piece of shit that you have under your TV far, far away, because we're putting out new things. And I smiled, and then I watched people watch the conference and make jokes about the conference. So that took up about 4 hours. Then I went back a day and watched HTC's 1-hour event that said that Douglas should throw his phone. Which was funny to me.
God damn it, HTC.
It's pretty good. And in between that, I watched one or two movies. Can you bring up that IMDb page for me? This week, I saw Upside Down. And it is a movie that stars Jim Sturgis, one of my new kind of favorite actors, and Kirsten Dunst. The movie... is a kind of science fiction. It's a sci-fi movie. The premise is... Alright, this is where we go into choppy waters. Now, the movie at the start expects you to believe that there are two worlds that spin around a sun, and they are inverse worlds, so they are upside down of each other, and matter from one side can go to the other side because it will fall based on the other world's gravity. They call it double gravity in the movie, which... So, the sci-fi elements of this movie are awful. And it isn't helped by them trying to explain some of these elements. Like, they try to explain why everything is upside down and explain, you know, that there's matter that can pass between worlds and whatever, but it's real dumb. Like, real, real dumb, and they spend way too much time. And I thought it would have been better if they just pretended that, no, this is just the universe. You will pick up why things are the way they are while we go along, but this is just how things are. But they chose to give me some backstory, which was, like, awful. It was truly, truly awful. And then they wrapped this truly awful sci-fi story with a terrible, like, a awful, awful love story. Douglas Robinson, at the end of the movie, something so profoundly stupid happens that it made me... Because I enjoy watching Kirsten Dunst and Jim Sturgis. Kirsten Dunst now, because she's coming, things that I appreciate... That Lars von Trier.
You mean one thing?
Shut up. She came in that and she was awesome in that, so go away. And Jim Sturgis, I've seen him in almost.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah. And I like him.
And you know what he's good in that I haven't mentioned before, but I watched a long time back and just didn't, you know, talk about it. It's. I thought they were making a US version, but I haven't seen anything of it. This British miniseries. Called, it was a trilogy, the Red something, Red Angel trilogy or something like that, and each episode is like a year, so 1984 and 1995, and it's something about him being some sort of journalist and looking into murders or something like that.
Right. But this, like, I wanted I wanted to like this movie, guys, but and the who is it? Tom IMDb? IMDb? Who is the guy that does the ratings for IMDb?
IMDb is Tom.
Is Tom? Right.
Yeah. Netflix is Steve.
Right.
Amazon is Bob.
Is Bill.
Bill?
It's Bill, Bill? Amazon.
Okay, Bill.
Everybody.
All right, yeah.
So Tom is wrong. Don't. It's. The movie. There are a couple of visuals that it is clear that someone thought of these visuals and said, if only we can wrap a movie around this. Because there's times when, you know, the inverse worlds kind of come together and there's some cool visuals that they play with. But the movie, at points, is aggressive with how stupid it is. And it is painful to watch them pretend that the things they are saying, even in the movie's context, makes any sense. And the end of the movie is a huge, huge letdown. And I don't think anyone, should watch this. It's not good. Really, really, really disappointing. This week I also realized, Andrew Robinson, this is for you specifically, why I do not like musicals. I explained this to Douglas a couple of minutes ago. This week I saw my mother watching a Western, and about 15 minutes into the Western, they broke out into song. And my mother...
Which Western is this? I have to find it now.
There are a couple of Westerns that they have singing and dancing. But my mother was livid. Like, furious at both the Western channel and the TV for wasting her time. She literally said, if we didn't want me to watch this, why are you wasting my time? Right? Furious that they were singing and dancing in this. And I went, is that why I hate them? Is hatred of musicals hereditary? I didn't realize that. I thought, you know, I just didn't like people singing and dancing, but apparently I earned that from my mother, and I'd like to thank her for that, because musicals are dumb.
You still haven't told me what movie
I don't know what it is. I was too busy laughing because it was thing of beauty.
So are you telling me that your mother does not like Three Amigos?
My mother does not. If you saw her reaction, you wouldn't ask that question. It didn't matter what they were seeing. It only mattered that they were seeing. She turned off the television. Went outside and did some gardening, which was impressive. This week, though, I caught up on way too much terrible TV shows. Alright, so let me run them down. Two Broke Girls is terrible. The New Girl is not as terrible. House of Lies is still fun. How I Met Your Mother is hot garbage at this point, because we'll never meet his mother or their mother, so everyone can stop watching this. I finally spoke to people who disagree with the whole world that Homeland is good. I spoke with them today. They explained some things that happened both in the first, at the end of the first season and in the second season. And they sound real dumb, guys. They sound real, real dumb. And so I'm off the Homeland train, because you guys can't trip me.
Have you not watched Homeland
yet? I have, no.
You need to watch Homeland.
No.
It's a good show.
No, you're wrong.
Can I tell you? I heard what happened at the end
of the first season. And there is no way this is a good show, Douglas. I heard some of the things that happens in the second season. And there is no way this is a good show.
The show is good. The show is great.
Can't shoot me.
Great.
I watched season one of Suits. Suits is bipolar. It started out as a whimsical comedy type thing. And now it is a straight up soap opera. And I disapprove of its soap opera-ness. I caught up with White Collar, which is a USA show. So it's a USA show. I caught up with Burn Notice, which is a USA show. What else did I say? I started watching episode 1 of Community, and 15 minutes in did not laugh, and turned it off right. before anything happened.
Okay, let me at least say this. While I cannot really defend that show,
yeah,
I have to say that at least the third episode is not that bad.
I actually really like the third episode, to be honest.
The third episode is alright.
it feels like season two Community right there.
Exactly, yeah. Well, no, I don't think it's gotten to season two's level, but what it says is, I'm trying to get there.
I watched two episodes of Justified, and then I said, I'm going to wait for the season to be done, because I can't do it like this. If I get to episode 7 or wherever it is, I'm just going to want more Justified and then be angry that there is no more Justified to be gotten. And I started watching The Wire again. Because, why not? Because The Wire is still awesome. And every time I watch The Wire, what happens is I watch season 1 and go, season 1 is the best season. And then I get to season 2 and I go, season 2 is the best season. And I get to season 3 and I go, now I'm pretty sure season 3 is the best season, guys. And then season 4 comes around, I'm like, holy shit. I am 100% sure that season 4 is the greatest thing to ever happen to television. And I've never said that about season 5, although I do love season 5.
Which one is season 5 again?
Season 5 is the final season.
Oh, okay.
Season 5 is the best season.
Season 5 has stuff that I absolutely love. And, I mean, you know what? If you haven't seen The Wire, go fuck yourselves. when people die in season 5, you just go, this is why I love this. I love this.
You don't know how much it hurts me every time at work. One of my coworkers tells me he hasn't seen a big TV guy. Like he's the kind of guy where when he finds out about a show, he marathons through that shit in a week and comes back and goes, "Thank, I had to get him onto Breaking Bad." And then I every time I bring up The Wire, he's like, I haven't watched that one." And I offer him my DVDs. I go, "I will lend them to you, all 5 seasons. Just watch it." He's like, "Nah." And I want to punch him.
You're a brave man. Nobody on earth is going to borrow my Wire DVDs until the Blu-rays come out, if they ever come out, and then I'll light all those DVDs on fire.
Give them to someone who you can make happy.
No, no one should ever watch anything in standard def. The last thing I saw, which... Was real dumb on my part. I watched a couple episodes of DuckTales. No, I don't know what series of events led to me watching DuckTales.
Were these random episodes, or were these like the first couple episodes?
These, I don't know where on earth these fell into the DuckTales chronology. I still like DuckTales, guys. DuckTales is...
Tailspin is better.
I haven't seen Tailspin. I saw DuckTales.
You haven't seen Tailspin?
No, I didn't see Tailspin.
Oh, okay. But Andrew, you are wrong. Tailspin is not better.
I cannot quantify that in any way. All I can tell you guys is DuckTales is still amazing. So, yeah.
You guys remember that DuckTales movie?
Yes, I do.
That Goofy movie, which I love. Disney refuses to put out on a proper format. How am I going to watch it in standard def, Disney?
I remember loving that movie when it came out, but I think I could be very wrong about
the Goofy movie was amazing. As Douglas holds his phone up to catch some Wi-Fi.
No, I'm not holding it up to catch some Wi-Fi. I'm holding it up so the microphone doesn't catch it.
You idiot. Douglas Robinson.
What have I watched?
Yes.
Well, this week.
Corporate Douglas returning?
No. This week we play that game again.
Oh, yes.
Where has Douglas gone? But first, before we play that game. Before we even meet contestants, I want to ask, have I... Have I actually spoken about Downton Abbey on this podcast before?
You only that you've never seen an episode.
Okay, well, I have seen an episode. Idiots. I've seen a couple of episodes. I want to reserve judgment. It is one of those shows that you can tell, especially because of the type of story and the type of time it's set in, it's a slow starter. Yes. But it has some glints every once in a while of goodness, so I need to just stick right. through it.
The husband is spectacular. The grandmother is also spectacular.
Well, she is, yeah.
And as the story progresses and things actually start happening, because right now it's just them being rich and having servants.
Right, yeah.
But things start to go a bit more sideways and it gets... Things happen.
I hear you.
But look, guys, it is a 1800s, 1900s era. This is a soap opera.
Yeah, that was clear from day one.
It is, in my opinion, I haven't watched a lot of soap operas, but I can actually watch this one as opposed to any other soap opera. So and it is entertaining watching these guys play off each other and watching the social dynamics kind of shift around all the time and then be brought back into balance over the course of the season is pretty good.
Yeah, fair enough.
And the acting is top notch.
Okay, yes. I have to give it that. Mm-hmm. Acting is good so far. But I couldn't put that in the game because we all know where the hell that one's from.
Mm-hmm.
But let us know. Ireland. Meet our contestants.
It's Ireland, right?
I say New Zealand.
Okay. We have got in the blue corner.
Okay.
Coming in at 200 pounds.
We've rung this metaphor out. Can you just get to the point, sir?
So we've got two TV shows.
Okay.
Killing Time.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden Boy. Andrew, go.
Well, I've already watched the first episode of Golden Boy, so I know where that one's from. What was the other one?
Are you sure? Because I may not be talking about the new show. I could be talking about the old show.
Is it a remake? I didn't know it was a remake.
Stop listening to Douglas. He's just trying to throw you off.
It's not a remake, but there is an old Golden Boy. Mm-hmm. No, which one am I talking about?
You're talking about the one I've seen. The one with the man who I will watch any show he's in, Shy McBride.
Fucker.
What's the other one you said? Killing Time?
Killing Time!
Just because it's you, I'm just going to say England, just for the fuck of it.
Alright. Well, Damien, you're up to bat.
So, last week I was right. I'm going to say Killing Time is from Germany. And Golden Boy is Iraqi.
Both of you guys got it wrong.
Okay.
Golden Boy, while you are correct, Andrew, that is the Golden Boy I watched. I could have been watching, just to let you know, probably now 10-year-old, maybe 15-year-old, cartoon.
You want to create... Actually, I do know that cartoon. I hadn't even thought of that.
That Japanese anime seen that is one. Fun, though. Yeah. I like that one.
You're trying to create the podcast version of homonyms.
Yep. You don't know what homonyms...
Yes, that, I do know what homonyms are.
No.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
30 Rock has this joke in the final season.
I haven't watched all of the final
where they create yet. This game called homonyms, where... No matter what the person says, they're always wrong.
I don't think I've gotten that far yet.
And it's just the people who, contestants, shouted at the host the whole time.
Oh, wait, yes, I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I do remember that, yes. Yeah. Because I'm thinking to myself, hold on, the only one I haven't seen is the finale. How have I not seen this? But now I remember.
And then I think in one of the later episodes, they show you that they made a foreign version of it.
Yep. The foreign version was terrific.
Oh my goodness. But yes, Golden Boy is from the States. It stars my boy Shy McBride, who I also would watch anything for, Andrew. He knows what his role is. He always chooses that role, and he plays that role to perfection.
I ain't Morgan Freeman. Open your goddamn door yourself.
And in this show, he does it so well. And while I see enough cheesiness in this show to think that perhaps a few episodes down the road I may not like it, right now, I'm loving it. What did you think of the show, Andrew? Did you like it?
I need more Shy McBride lines. Come on, man. This show, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think maybe it's because it's been so long since I've had a Shy McBride show to watch since Human Target got cancelled. But I was enjoying my Shy McBride so much that I kind of overlooked all of the obvious badness of the show. Because yeah. I don't think that guy playing the lead is any form of good at all. And it could be bad writing doing that to him, but it, and worse, there's the rival police guy for Shy McBride who is yes. who was Lafayette's boyfriend in True Blood.
Yeah.
True Blood. Fun times.
And I have, like, we used to make jokes about True Blood about going, I don't have no clue where those accents came from. I have no clue where his accent is coming from in this show.
From him.
it sounds like he's going way too crazy with his character.
It's the same
but
place Leonardo DiCaprio gets his accents from.
I think Leo gets his accent straight from Scorsese, though. He just kind of, he goes to a private meeting, Scorsese hands it to him in a box, and he comes out, and he goes, yes.
So he took even one for Django. For Django?
Yes, he went to Scorsese specifically for his Django accent.
I hear you. Well, Damien.
Yes.
Killing Time.
Mm-hmm.
Germany? Really? I'm disappointed in you. Disappointed. You got it right last time. Stop. You have a TV show mm-hmm. called The Killing Time,
yes.
and you could choose a country mm-hmm. that was started by criminals and you don't?
Yes.
What? How does this
because
not,
it was
how
too
does
obvious.
This not happen?
It was too obvious.
Killing Time is a movie from, I'm sorry, a television show from Australia starring, I can't remember his name, something like, oh yes, David Wenham, who, I've seen him in a couple of movies, generally, like American movies. He's probably, you know, in the middling range of actors there. It's a show about a lawyer who has questionable taste in clients and apparently makes some poor decisions and ends up in prison because he got into some sort of drug habit, and there may have been a murder spree in the middle there, I'm not sure, but you kind of get brought in at the end of it when he's in prison. And then it's one of those TV shows where it says, okay, now we're going to remember what happened. And so I haven't quite reached the part where he goes batshit crazy yet. So I don't know exactly what has gone wrong. But you see the warning signs. You see the heroin dealers and the bikers that are his clients. And you say to yourself, okay, they're going to ask you to do something one day. And you're going to say yes when you should not say yes. And that is going to lead you down a dark road, sir. So,
is it a dark road, though? Is it?
I don't know. But this show is, it's, at least from the first episode, pretty okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's alright.
Maybe I should abandon watching American TV and just watch TV from other countries at this point. Because I'm really watching way too much garbage. Like, hours and hours worth of. And then washing that away with the while.
Speaking of garbage, I watched another movie today, but we'll talk about that later. Andrew, what did you watch?
Oh, wow. Expectations. Expectations.
You watched Great Expectations?
Wow. Which one? The one with Ethan Hawke?
No, I did not. I did not see Great Expectations this week. Douglas took up all of my TV talk I wanted to bring in. I will say, like last week I brought up Community, I agree. I have hope now. I really have hope for this being a relatively enjoyable season.
Yeah, me too.
Given the progression we've been having 1-3.
Enjoyable.
but otherwise this week, I saw for the first time Fritz Lang's M. And it's a movie which I feel very conflicted about, because there are, and I feel this is kind of what I think of most, like when it gets to a procedural mode movies, where it's kind of, and for those people who don't know what this movie is about, it's about this one town in Germany where there is a killer going around snapping up children. And it's all about the town going crazy trying to find out who it is. And on top of which, you have this group of criminals who you assume are like the head of all the big criminal organizations in the town, coming together saying that this guy is screwing us up because the police are coming in and ruining everything. So we're going to also go and look for this criminal. And it becomes this manhunt.
I'm not sure what was so funny.
No, I kind of thought I heard something like someone was whispering, like possibly Damien going, I think he doesn't know what this movie's about or something. Nope. And I kind of paused up to try to see if I could hear it properly, but it sounded more like someone was brushing the mic or something.
No, what Damien that is was doing Douglas. Is Damien is, no, don't
brushing
you.
The mic.
Damien is trying to get more inside of his rain jacket.
Yep.
So that he can not be cold.
Sorry, I'm my ass off.
Check your Twitter and you shall see.
I was trying to be discreet, but this raincoat is not helping.
Right, okay, so M. It's kind of what I realized when I'm watching a lot of movies like this, where it gets to a very procedural section of the movie where we start to get into the bit-by-bit manhunt, and certain little details are executed so well that I kind of hone in on them and focus and love those things so much. But when the movie was over, and can I say that this is one of the weird movies where there are no credits, it almost feels like someone decided to stop the movie halfway, even though they've technically finished the movie. It feels very weird. I have this on the Criterion, and I literally went through again, rewinding, wondering if I got a bad Blu-ray, right? Because it just felt, I went on the internet to go and find out, and no, it's exactly how it is. It comes off preachy to the end, but I don't know. I do think I like this film at the end of the day, but yeah, it's still a lot of things I'm trying to process when it comes to this movie.
So this movie was on the IMDb 100 list, so I saw it about a year and a half, about 2 years ago now, because that's when I kind of went through all of those movies. And while I haven't watched it since, I do remember enjoying this movie a fair bit. I guess because I was going through all of those movies, I was in that kind of mindset. But I remember how they kind of said, like, you know, all right, because this guy is so bad that the criminals had to, you know, take stock and say, we have to do something about this because, you know, I just thought that was so clever, especially for a movie that is really old. I think it came out in
1933.
30s, right. And, I mean, there's things about the movies that clearly tells you that it is from the 30s, but I didn't find any of those things distracting me. And, again, I'm just going off about two-year-old memory at this point, but I do remember liking it a fair amount. I think it was one of the better movies that was in the 100, and I would advise anyone that hasn't seen it, some of the movies from that time can feel really tedious, but this, I don't remember this being one of them. If I'm remembering correctly, I really enjoyed this one.
I do like a lot about this movie, but at the same time, as I said, there's still some things which, like, I'm not sure how to really feel about it at this point. Like, I might just rewatch it tomorrow to see how it plays out again. But like, when that M came up, like, that was, I was just like, oh shit, that's so awesome. And that's me honing on little procedural things, which just feels so good. Otherwise, this week I saw, and you guys can turn off your headsets for another 2 minutes. I watched a Steven Soderbergh movie. I saw Side Effects. This movie is fantastic. It's amazing how gorgeous Soderbergh makes movies where they don't need to be pretty. And I love him for it. I've kind of shied away from a lot of reviews and a lot of podcasts which I've talked about this movie recently.
I wonder why that is, Andrew.
Mainly because every time they start talking about it, they're like, we can't really talk about it because we have to spoil it. So I don't really want to say much about this movie other than it's not the movie it really advertised. It's more than that, and I love it for it. But last and not least, I saw, and once again coming back to the Fantasy League, I watched Warm Bodies. This is one of Damien's movies.
You've seen both my movies now.
It feels very much like as if John Hughes wanted to make a movie but put zombies in it. And I kind of appreciate it so much for doing that because it reaches,
like he's gonna give it a
three. It reaches for the fences so far, but at the same time I feel at the end of the day like this just wasn't a movie for me because I don't know if you guys have had this experience much, but you feel like you're watching a comedy where you understand why people are finding it funny, but you yourself are not laughing. And that's how Warm Bodies was for me. Rob Corddry, where he says almost nothing for the first 40 minutes of this movie, is so good. He's so good.
Rob Corddry is hilarious, just generally. He's a funny-ass man.
And what I like even more about this movie, and they kind of lay it all out in like the first few minutes, is how they kind of play the idea of zombies against society as today, as people being shells of individuals thanks to technology. And I kind of agree with it, and I think this is where I want to give this movie a lot of credit for it. Am I allowed to give half stars?
No.
Right, so...
And we run down, by the way.
I don't like this movie enough to give it a 3, but I appreciate it enough that I think it deserves it.
A 1.
I'm going to give it
there
a
you go.
2.
There you go, Damon. You got
I'm
a 1.
Give this movie
you heard
a
it
2.
Here. You heard it here.
I watched this movie, it doesn't matter what Andrew thinks. I'm going to give this movie a 4.
Fuck you. Arbitration. You know what Damon's going to do? Damon is going to wait until December 31st to watch all of his movies. So that
No. He's going to watch them all but not talk about them.
Yeah.
And then just come in on the 31st and be like, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4.
Yep. And escape arbitration.
Except and
we're going to finalize the podcast when we do our top 10 for the year, so... That
should give us an extra couple of weeks.
Then that won't work.
Yes.
So that's what I've been watching this week. Other than rewatching movies crazily. I rewatched Battle Royale 2. That movie's not good.
Yeah, but we don't talk... Like, if we were talking about movies that we've seen a thousand times, I rewatched Man From Nowhere like 2 times this week.
That movie is so bad, Damien. It's so fun, but bad.
How can it be bad? It's a Coen Brothers movie. What is wrong with you?
No, you're thinking of the wrong movie.
Oh, wait.
Man From Nowhere is the Korean movie. The Korean revenge movie.
Oh. What am I thinking of? There's another movie by a similar name that the Coen Brothers did. Is it Man From Nowhere? I don't know. Anyway.
Man From Nowhere is spectacular. I love that.
Yes, it is. He catches a knife with a wallet.
Yeah.
Come on.
And bites a guy's hand to stab him in the heart. And that soundtrack is pretty amazing. I've had the opportunity to watch Die Hard 5.
How is it?
About 9... No, I haven't watched it because I know it's bad. And I don't want to put myself through watching it if it doesn't make enough money.
Yeah. So you have to wait for the money to come right. in.
So if it makes $100 million and it gets a one, because Andrew has already given it a one.
Yeah.
Right? So even if I say no, I love it, and he says one and I say two, that's still rounded down to one. So I'm getting $25 million for nothing, right? For absolutely nothing. So should I put myself through that?
But you see, the truth is, well, no, I won't even say that because then you'll watch it. But the truth is, no matter what, you realize that you're eventually going to watch this movie.
Yeah, that's the worst part. At some point, I have to see what Die Hard 5 is. I have to. But it looks.
It's a good day to Die Hard, Damien.
Look here. There's Die Hard 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is 5. Although, at this point, I'm just going to... You know, there's just Die Hard 1 and 3 at this point. I'm just going to...
No. 4 no, is...
Look here.
4 is fun.
4 is okay.
4 is fun.
4 is okay. Yeah. Right? But it doesn't have to be in the Die Hard trilogy of 1 and 2, which is technically 2 movies... But it is still my Die Hard trilogy.
Listen, Die Hard 3 is enough of a movie to be called a trilogy.
Die Hard 1 is perfect. Die Hard 3 is amazing. So yeah, that's my trilogy. Die Hard 1, 3.
So now you guys have to all go and watch Soderbergh's Side Effects.
Why?
Because it's a new Soderbergh film and you love it.
Why?
Is it on the fantasy?
No, it's not.
Well then, you answer your own question.
Oh fuck! You know what he's going to do?
Mm-hmm. What?
He has a pick in a few weeks, doesn't he? He's just going to say, all of you have to review Die Hard. Side Effects.
If I make myself watch Die Hard 5 again, I don't think I could make it.
Side Effects, damn it! I meant to say Side Effects.
Side Effects is, except Side Effects is never coming out here. So.
Well, I heard about the fella you've been dancing with all over the neighborhood. So why didn't you ask me, baby? Or didn't you think I could? Well, I know that the boogaloo is out of sight, but the shingling's a thing tonight. But if that was you and me, I'd have, baby, I would have shown you how to do it right. Do it right.
Is from the director of After School, a film we reviewed, mm-hmm. and the producer of Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, another film we talked about. His new film.
We reviewed that one too.
We did. his new film, Simon Killer, which debuted at Sundance, got a trailer.
Hey Michelle, how are you? I'm in Paris now, about to start traveling.
I spent a lot of time reflecting on our relationship.
I know that I need this time to grow and put my life in order.
Your mother said you were having a hard time.
Can you look at me?
Yeah, I miss you.
I just broke up with my girlfriend.
Sincerely, Simon.
I'd like to meet somebody new.
Excusez-moi.
Salut.
Douglas, what did you think?
I actually like this trailer. It started off well. I liked the soundtrack for the first few seconds. There was a lot of ticking and the visuals were kind of, you know, pushing you towards, it was letting you know, you were going towards something. Something was about to happen. Something that was supposedly either spectacular or horrifying or whatever it was going to be something big. And the trailer just kind of built and kept, you know, coming at you. And I really got excited for this movie.
What is this trailer about?
Nobody asked me that. They asked me if I liked it. This trailer is about a young man and a young lady.
We've never seen a movie like that before. Tell me more.
The young lady has a profession, and that profession is very old, and it tends to happen at night. She is a
Does she take a lot of money or a little bit of money?
Well, you see, that's the problem. She's not sure. Should she take a little bit of money from a lot of men or a lot of money from one man? And that's what this movie is about. So she's a hooker, okay?
She should get married? I don't understand.
Is this Pretty Woman?
Well, it could be.
No, it couldn't.
If Disney takes it over and rewrites it like they did with Pretty Woman.
Oh, so you're telling me to expect Richard Gere at some point.
Yes.
So this movie is about the blackmailing of a man by a lady who he slept with, who he probably should not have slept with.
I don't think there's any probably about it. Should have slept with this woman.
Yes.
It's hard to blackmail someone that you probably shouldn't have done something with.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you're certain you shouldn't have. Easy to blackmail.
So, this film, you know, in it, apparently a lot of madness ensues. And I'm excited. I would like to watch it. Damien, what did you think?
I enjoyed this thriller. Mostly because, as you all know, I listen to a lot of news. international news. Because it makes me feel better about living here. And recently, there have been some happenings around this subject matter where people are blackmailing other people, both through online sites and through prostitution, of course. And it has led to some tragic happenings of late. So when I saw it, I said, oh, this is ripped from the headlines. But the rapper that it is in is pretty, it looks pretty good. And I really do want to see where they take it from here, because I like the premise, and it looks, from the trailer looks like it's something that we should all at least give a look at, and that's what the trailer is supposed to do. And it is better than the trailer that we're supposed to talk about.
Yes, it is. So. And Damien, you know, one extra thing that I would say too, while I don't think any of us really liked After School,
mm-hmm.
it was really well directed.
True.
And
I'll give it that.
Yeah, and I think, Andrew, you said that this is directed by the same director, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's yet another plus or check in the
please
box.
Don't make it be as bad.
And
as
in both movies, it happens to be about people who want to film things happening in life. One movie is about a horrible girl at school. The other's about a prostitute screwing some guy.
I'm not seeing a pattern here. So Andrew, do you like the trailer?
I think I want to watch this movie, but do I like the trailer? I don't really think so. The trailer in itself, it comes off, you guys mentioned, the style of the trailer. I wasn't sure how to really deal with that style, because it felt like it was more an editing trick of the trailer than something to give me expectancy for the movie. To deal, especially like there were parts of what the movie was telling me that I'm wary of, especially to deal with the relationship between the guy and the hooker. There's this point where he has a phone call with his mother, or he leaves a message and he's like, I want you to meet this girl, she's so awesome. Like, what is wrong with you, dude? Are you smoking something special up in Europe?
Prostitutes can be good people. Come on. She's a nice
They can't
lady.
Have boyfriends either. What is wrong with
Only
you?
Only if they're Richard Gere and and
He's
Pretty Woman,
Richard
whose
Gere.
Name I can't remember.
Wait, sorry, what?
My brain is going crazy.
Are you serious?
I'm trying
you
to remember Pretty Woman.
This woman's, you don't know who this is.
No, it's
Ocean's 12 woman.
Wow. Audrey Hepburn.
Wow. Who is it?
It's Mila Kunis. It's
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Julianne Moore.
Julia Roberts.
Jennifer
there.
Lopez,
Julia
right?
Roberts. you screwed up,
the
Damien.
Important part of Pretty Woman. You know, the actual Pretty Woman. You know, and that whole, I mean, the Pretty Woman. Terrible, Andrew. Terrible. Douglas Robinson, you also found a second trailer.
I did find a second trailer.
Yes.
The second trailer that I found was for a movie called The Silence.
Silencio.
This trailer. Was amazing. The movie is about, well, okay, so you don't see this, or you kind of get a hint of this, right? But I have some previous kind of connection with this movie, so I know a little bit more, maybe, or at least maybe Andrew, you can tell me what you think from the trailer. But this movie is really about I can't remember exactly in Europe, but it's a kind of a province, a place in Europe, where there are, it's kind of this rash of children, abductions, right? And I can't remember if it was that these abductions happened and then stopped, and there was just this bad taste in the community's mouth, and then there was this abduction, which the movie is actually about, or if the abduction the movie is about was just a part of that rash, that number of things.
At some point it said, but 23 years later.
Oh, so there we go. Yeah, so yeah, I think, okay, so it's after this, you know, bad portion of time. And the movie is really about, you know, the fact that this girl, this young child has been taken, probably killed, what, you know, the community is going through, and of course, you know, what is actually happening.
Is Liam Neeson in this one?
Liam Neeson, unfortunately, is not in this one. This is probably why the girl dies.
Oh, that's
because they don't have his set of skills to work with.
In fairness,
how
they should have probably killed the girl
be
in the
to
first
have evening. A Liam Neeson German accent.
I don't know.
Liam Neeson's accent already German?
Perhaps. Sure. But this trailer looked fantastic. The imagery was beautiful, and there was also a kind of a savagery to it in certain places that, again, while I really shouldn't condone these sort of things, but had its own little piece of beauty to it.
It's a movie, though. It's not actually happening. We won't think you're a monster for liking terrible things in movies.
Okay, thank you. I am so on board for this movie, especially after. So when myself and Damon were watching this trailer, from essentially the first shot. I said to myself, this looks like a trailer I've seen before. Is it about that thing with the children? And slowly but surely, it kind of appeared more and more.
I
like
have no
it did.
Idea how you saw that from a shot of a car driving through the woods. Your brain is fascinating at times and really scary at other times.
I tell you. But this movie, do you remember, Andrew, a time when I managed and was pushed, hit back on a lot? I managed the trailers via a Google Wave.
Sorry, I don't know what a Google Wave is.
A Google Wave.
I'm sorry,
post.
I'm concerned that doesn't exist anymore. So why are we talking about?
Actually,
dead
can I tell you? I got an email. I don't know how much money they paid Google, but somebody has revived Google Wave, a third-party company, and they must have gotten emails to all the people who were on Google Wave. And I got a random email saying, "Hey, Google Wave is back. We are starting it at our website." So, sounds kind of shady to me, but apparently
internet,
it's not.
The
dead.
Internet laughed and went, come on, guys.
Google Wave was awesome,
guys,
though.
Google didn't want Google Wave. Let's take it down.
Anyway, back in those days, a movie came out. So this was in 2010. A German movie, apparently.
That doesn't sound like a real time. Never heard of it.
A German movie called The Silence in German. And
Silence in German?
Yes.
So they've abbreviated the name now?
Yes, just they
the
have.
Silence?
Yeah. Okay. And I put the German trailer on, which was not exactly the same, but it had some of the same shots, which is why I kind of, it just hit me. And it was as beautiful. I was as stoked about it. And you guys either watched it or didn't watch it and said, no, how dare you, Douglas.
I'm
we're not
blame
watching
Andrew
this trailer
for this one,
anyway.
Because there's no way I've seen a trailer like this. And God, no.
So,
better than that.
I am now happy that we all, it seems, agree that this trailer at least is better than the one that we were going to watch. And I feel vindicated. And all right, I am
that's enough of
definitely going to watch this movie immediately.
This trailer feels ominous. It feels eerie. And that is clearly, it is not by accident. And for that, I mean, Douglas has earlier stated that the shots are, they look real spectacular. And if the sense of dread can be carried in from the trailer into the movie and can be sustained throughout the however long this movie, which is German, so it's going to be 2 hours, then I think we're in for something special here. It must have been released on something already, if the USA is now going to bring it. So we should try and hunt down one of that to see if we can talk about that in one of our upcoming episodes. But
this, of course,
this trailer looks real good. And I definitely want to see this. This one is one I'm going to look out for. We see a lot of shitty trailers that none of us care about. But this is not one of them. Andrew Robinson, I see that you've passed out, yet you're not drinking this week. What say you about the trailer?
I agree very much with your assessment. I mean, if there's one thing I can say to this trailer is that it looks fucking amazingly gorgeous. There's a shot in this trailer of what it looks like, people cutting up a field, like just guys walking in a line going through this field, and it's overhead, and it just looks beautiful. I'm very interested in how they kind of deal with this story, because as you say, it has this 23 year gap between series of murders. I think it kind of made it feel like it was one murder, and then 23 later the same murder happens again. And to see how they handle that, as whether it's going to be a police procedural or if it's going to be some sort of just these characters figuring out what to do with this event, or if we're following the murderer, I have no idea at this point, but it looks like it will be a movie that we would want to talk about. And I disagree with you, Douglas, very much, because you're making an assumption there. No, you did not pick a better trailer than what I sent. I just didn't want you guys going, Andrew, this trailer is a piece of garbage.
Give me the loot. Which, for some reason, I don't understand how you can have a movie and a trailer for that movie by the name of Gimme the Loot and not actually have the song by the name of Gimme the Loot as sung by the Notorious B.I.G. in
it was
there.
What? It's an indie movie.
Andrew, Gimme the Loot is a mediocre trailer. I wouldn't say it's bad.
At best.
I wouldn't say it's bad. But
closer to your hand, and there's knowing when to stop the measure of the man. Okay, well, not what I promised you we would become.
You know Count Vronskilo?
He's a rich, good-looking cavalry officer.
Dance with me.
I must warn you about something.
Warn me? You may, by indiscretion, give the world occasion to talk about you.
This must stop. If you have any thought for me, you will give me back my peace.
There can be no peace for us. Only misery, my greatest happiness.
Oh, is there this love?
We are bound together by God, and this can only be broken by a crime against God.
This week, something's happened. I wanted us to discuss Anna Karenina, a story which has been told a billion times, originally written by Leo Tolstoy. This is the version directed by Joe Wright, the man who gave me Atonement, Hannah, Pride and Prejudice. I wanted to see what he had to give me with another period piece. Yes. So, for people who don't know what this movie is about,
No, we're stopping you there. Everybody in God's green earth has heard of Anna Karenina. Douglas Robinson, you made some pithy comment about this movie's quality at the start of the show. Let's get it up. What's happening now? Do you like this? Yay, nay.
Nay. This movie.
All right, all right. So, Andrew, it is clear that you love this movie because of what he said on Twitter. And I am in agreement with you, but only halfway. We'll get to that after Douglas makes his point. What don't you like about this movie?
All right, well, first, at least, let me just give the basic story. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple story. This is a story about a woman who cheats on her husband and is shunned for it because this is very early times Russia.
Yeah, because that doesn't happen now. No one shuns women for cheating on their husband.
Not to that extent. Not like that.
Are you certain? Sure you want to go down this road? Maybe celebrities can get away with that.
No, people will get shunned in terms of, like, the families. But not, oh my goodness, she can never work or see her children or
Douglas,
walk in this town again.
Douglas, have it like go that. Watch Les Mis.
Oh, come on. Stop talking about Lemmy's.
Anyway, this movie, let me just get it out of the way. This movie is beautiful.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Unbelievably so.
Yes.
Holy
oh
shit.
My goodness.
Holy shit.
And it starts out, actually, I really started out wanting to like this movie. I know who directed it. A man by the name of Joe Wright, who disappointed me with his last movie with Keira Knightley, which I'm trying to remember the name, but
Pride and Prejudice. No,
the other one.
Atonement.
Atonement. Thank you.
But you didn't like Hannah?
Hold on, I'm getting there.
That is why he made the giant caveat off with Keira Knightley.
Exactly. So Atonement, I didn't like, but Atonement I didn't like for a different reason. If I had a DC of Atonement, I'd love the shit out of it. I love the first, let's call it, hour and a half. I really don't know how long Atonement is, but I really didn't like how they ended
it. The first 15 minutes.
So you're saying Atonement minus 10 minutes.
Thank you. Atonement minus the realization, and I love it. Right? Now, Hannah, I love to tears. And that is, again, Joe Wright with another cast member of Atonement, now Saoirse Ronan, or whatever her name is. And now we have this movie, Anna Karenina, which, as I say, I wanted to like. I actually started out liking it. For the first, I would say, 15 to 20 minutes, I kind of loved it. I was extremely impressed with the lightheartedness that this guy threw at this film. This film that was, you know, is kind of entrenched in this big, serious kind of tradition.
This is Tolstoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Book. And so he doesn't write light, fluffy things.
Yes.
He writes deep, dark, dreary.
I loved in the beginning, he made it clear, or at least it was clear to me. I don't know if it's clear to everybody else. As Damien pointed out earlier, I am a strange person and my mind works differently sometimes. But it was clear to me that he was letting us know or somehow drawing parallels with a play. From Go, you saw curtains rise, and even towards the end of this film, you would see somebody go to a place and it would pull out and it would be on a stage all of a sudden.
That the scene with the horse riding is when they're having the race towards mm-hmm. the middle of the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
When the horses run across the fake stage
mm-hmm.
and then it cuts to this like massive empty field and like a real movie cut of the horses running.
Yeah.
I just sat there like kind of blown away by the fact that someone thought that this could work and put it on screen and made it work.
Yeah.
He's clearly a genius as a director. Like, there's no doubt about it.
No, of course not. You can't fault him for that.
This movie, as I said, it's
beautiful. And that is probably my biggest love of this film. Right? It's directed well, the acting is great. But, so, what I loved about it at first was kind of, for me, again, the downfall of it afterwards. I loved the lightheartedness. I loved, the whimsy of the beginning. Even when you see it, there was a scene in the beginning, in almost the very beginning, with, I don't remember his name, but he's from MI5 and a lot of other British movies. He's Steven, the brother, right? Yeah, and there is a point right before and during when he meets his friend Constantine, and he's essentially walking from his office as if he has decided it's time for me to go out mm-hmm. to another meeting or something, and he has his servant take off his jacket and put on, you know, I guess mm-hmm. the outside jacket.
Right.
And then he decides, no, wait, I forgot something near my office. I have to turn around. And then, no, the servant takes off the outside jacket for the inside jacket, and he does this about 3 or 4 times. And I thought that was, you know, hilarious. And, you know, it's nice to have that kind of comic relief, even though it's not necessary and it doesn't really...
Like, when it just started, I was really, really fearful mm-hmm. that there was going to be singing. Like, I'm going to break out in song, and I'm going to have to stop watching this movie.
That's all this movie needed. Like, everything Douglas has talked about, you throw in a song or two, and it's become the full-blown perfect musical I wanted.
Like, this is a musical, isn't it? Andrew thinks this is funny, and it never happened. And thank you.
So are you spending the whole 2 hours going, where's the song? Where's the song?
No.
And when the credits roll, you're like, shit, there was no song.
Like, after the first 15 minutes, there were so many opportunities for them to break out in song. If it didn't happen early on, like... Part of the scene that Douglas was talking about, when the man was leaving his office the first time to go to dinner with his friend, all the workers essentially transformed that scene and rebuilt the scene back into the
next scene. Yeah.
And that was I'm like, good. Okay, if they don't sing here, it's never happening. And it didn't.
And I think that was a part of the downfall, at least for me, in this movie.
Very crazy.
Because, no, let me tell you why. I loved it. I especially love that scene and that transformation in that scene. But there is a point at which it becomes too much. And this happened throughout the film. And it kind of got tiring. I felt my eyes getting tired. Like, it started to hurt to watch all of these scene changes and all of these flashbacks. Well, I wouldn't call them flashbacks, but moves to the stage and all of that. And when you really boil down to it, at its core, this is a very simple story. I know that the book is not very simple.
Damn right.
All right, this is a told story.
Or none of the other movies.
But let me put it differently then. The story told by this film is a very simple story. All right, because that is all the story tells. The story tells essentially Anna's side of things. I have now fallen in love with some young man, taken up with him, become the talk of the town, and bad things happen to me. Right? That's really what this movie is about.
Look, everyone has heard of Anna.
Yeah.
You cannot... It's like, oh,
guys, in the Bible, Jesus died. Yeah, it's that bad. We've all heard of this movie.
Oh, man.
Fair enough. But, so, there are...
I feel like I should just send Damien a link of all of these posts I think are so incredulous, which go up every time there's a very big history moment made into a film. And people just love to put up links of people, of younger people's tweets going, "Holy shit, I didn't know the Titanic sank."
Yep. Because you're dumb.
Great. But the
you're
thing
born
about this,
with that knowledge.
One thing that I didn't like was that the transitions and the all the fluff around this film got to be a bit much after a while. The second thing was that, as I said, outside of this simple story that this movie was trying to tell, there was a lot of extra things that were going on, like with Constantine and Princess Kitty.
Extraneous subplots.
Yeah, that didn't really help the movie. It
kind
of
did.
No, it didn't.
It kind
of did. Some of the other things were needed because you needed to know who these people were. Like, you needed to know the brother because you need to know a few things. But a lot of, for instance, those two people that I spoke about, Constantine and Kitty, mm-hmm. you didn't need most of what they were in. That was just unnecessary.
No, you did.
No. Especially to the end when they finally get married, they have a child, and he finds out that not only does he love this woman, but this woman is the greatest woman in the world because she's bathing his brother, mm-hmm. And letting the questionably moral lady that is living with him stay.
Also a prostitute.
That, yes. That's not...
We've been talking about them a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, trained here.
But that wasn't needed. That didn't do anything for me, and it was just extra fluff. And there was a lot of that.
I have to disagree with you there. The fluff, as you call it, uh-huh. is set... It's there to counter all of the things that Anna did and said throughout the movie. In the beginning, Anna counsels her brother.
No, and that's why I said not all of it, because I like that. And that then, was great. It was great, kind of almost symmetry.
But then towards the end, the reason why you need them is to show you that Kitty has settled for this man. Right? Because
mm-hmm.
it was not her first choice. She wanted to run away
with
Anna's guy.
Hold on. Before mm-hmm. you say that, I wouldn't even say that she settled and that he wasn't her first choice. At least from a lot of the dialogue you mm-hmm. get, you know that he was pretty close to marrying her before.
Yes.
So it's not as if, you know, it was...
But
wasn't
she,
happening from before. But
she
said
chose
no.
someone
yeah.
else.
Yeah, she did.
Got murked.
Yep.
And then...
By the same Anna.
Right. Anna murked a lot of people. And then she said, all right. And you can see where, while he was an idealist, she clearly was not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you see where he realized towards the end that while he loves her and he understands that the only reason he's with her is because another man was moved away, that it does not diminish the love that they have between them. And that is why you needed their final scene to show that, to make it even more pronounced that what Anna has done, it wasn't what she should have done. We know that, and you don't really need them to spell it out for you, but we kind of need to see that, you know. While Anna's husband made it out all right in the end,
because
uh-huh. he gets the final shot of the movie, and it's a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
But you need to see where, you know, having the idealist take on what love is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
right? And you see what this love, it's essentially, this is what love starts out as. And then they fade to Anna's husband with the children. And like, this is where love can take you. So it's to show the difference between them. So I thought I didn't feel it unnecessary.
No, but you see, even if you say that's what it's supposed to do, I didn't even see that. No. Because, especially because, as I say, they, It wasn't as if this is some guy off the street, Constantine, I'm talking about now. And he comes and he says, "Will you marry me, Princess Kitty?" And Kitty's like, "No, you're disgusting." And then she gets rebuffed and says, "All right, disgusting person, come here, I will settle for you." It was more a thing like, you know, Constantine is a great friend. Yeah, maybe we could have done something a while back, but that time has gone. I've kind of got this guy now. And she says, "I don't know. I don't want to hurt you, but, you know, this is not happening right now." And when she now gets rebuffed, you could make the argument, oh, she realizes X and Y and Z and whatever. So I don't sit there, even their love before she, you know, goes off and he realizes, oh, my goodness, this person is a real person who's going to get down and dirty with me, you know, with the brother. Mm-hmm. Even before that, you don't, I don't see it as her settling per se. I mean, yes, she got hurt by this guy, but, you know, we all do at one point, and, you know, you go from, people are butterflies. We all go from one to another until.
But she was going to, what is Anna's new boyfriend name? Whatever.
Alexei, right. Something.
She was going to marry Alexei. That was going to happen.
But that
Alexei, Frostov, sorry guys.
Was it?
Yes. Alexei is Jude Law. Boyfriend.
The both of them are called Alexei, weren't they?
What is the boyfriend's name, Andrew?
Count Vronsky.
What's his first name, my friend? Count is a title. His name is Alexei.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Douglas is right. Alright, so she was going to marry Vronsky. Yeah. Vronsky only changed his mind about the whole thing when he saw Anna.
Yes, right. Yes. So, and that's another thing that kind of turned me off,
mm-hmm.
was how quickly things could happen in this movie, yeah. and how little,
unless they
how little mind movie. They wanted to pay to certain things. And I hear you. I am the first person to say, yes, you don't need to mm-hmm. pay much attention to everything. But what?
There is an assumption that the whole world knows the story.
That's a horrible thing to place on any movie, though.
No movie should
come walking with the assumption, you already know what this movie is, so we're going to skip over these bits and really? Just really? Enjoy I mean, what we give you.
Is that your final answer, Andrew Robinson? Is that your final answer? No movie should do that?
No.
Avengers? Superman? Every single comic book movie that we've seen?
There are movies which decide to focus in on something, but you shouldn't have to bring in outside knowledge to understand a movie.
No, you understand that he changed his mind. You understand why he changed his mind. Douglas is just not, doesn't approve of the speed of which he changed his mind.
I know this is a bit of a nitpick, but I didn't like that, and I also didn't like... there were periods in this movie,
mm-hmm.
especially because of the way that they transitioned, right? So all of these transitions, while in one respect they were smooth because it was kind of smooth to the eye in terms of visual and visually pleasing, but in terms of story and moving things along, they were very jarring. And a lot, not all of them, but quite a few of them. And sometimes it almost felt... And I'm going to compare this to a movie, and I know Damien is about to hack my head off.
Probably.
But a lot of, there were quite a few times in this movie where I thought of Tree of Life. Not Tree of Life, sorry. A New World
mm-hmm.
with Terrence Malick, where that movie was essentially this happened. We're now going to transition to something that happened later on. We're now going to transition to something that happened later on. We're not really going to give you the filler. And you just have to kind of connect the dots in your mind. Right? And that's how I felt about some of this movie as well.
Fair enough.
And I think that was my main issue with it. And mm-hmm. while, you know, the visuals were great, the acting was great. The story, as I say, it's while it's simple, it's a pretty... compelling story, which is why there's so many various versions of this on
screen.
So
you're saying but less thriller and more filler. Here's it. All right, Andrew Robinson.
Oh, Damien.
What do you think about this movie?
Oh, Damien, why?
Because I can. Because I can. I'm a grown man. I can say that. Does it make me a bad person? Yes.
I think it does. I think but it makes you a very bad person
at this point. Andrew Robinson. I read a tweet from you that said, "Let me see if I can remember this." If there is joy in your heart.
So let me read it. Let me read it for you so we can get it.
A great movie.
So let me read it so we can get, like, we can be correct here. If you like spectacle and glorious beauty in theatrical cinema, then do yourself a favor and watch Anna Karenina.
Right. If you don't hate yourself and are planning suicide, you should watch out the current.
Sure I think that's what I really said. Yeah.
Sure
so I think is that what you felt after reading the tweet and watching the movie?
No, I want you to go because we've heard Douglas's side, and so now I want to hear your side. I know you love this movie. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to tell everybody why you love this movie. You get no more than 5 minutes.
I get no more than 5 minutes. No. Well, I think you can kind of tie this into all of those movies that we talk about where I bring up how much I love and you guys kind of sit there baffled wondering how can you like this movie? Where at the end of the day, when we look at when we look at all of those movies, we can see one common thing between all of them, which is that they are all gorgeously directed, which gives me something that I can stare at with no qualms, just adoring what's put in front of me. The way, and Douglas talked about it, the way that this movie brings together some form of theatrical sense to it, where we're seeing, he mentioned the coat changes. It's just glorious. And I mean, one of my favorite scenes in this movie has to do with the ball when Anna finally dances with Count Vronsky. And we get everyone else freezes in the room, and it's only after Anna and Count Vronsky passes someone that they can then have life again and move, only because they have now seen the beauty of Anna and Vronsky dancing. This movie, it just felt right to me. I mean, we brought up Joe Wright's filmography, and I mean, the one movie we've passed over is a movie that no one should mention that Joe Wright ever had anything to do with, which was The Soloist.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never even heard of a movie by that name.
You've never heard of a movie by that name?
I think that was a TV show or something, or commercial. I don't know what that is.
I mean, Joe Wright is someone who was able to make me love Pride and Prejudice, a book which I literally threw out the window after reading. And there's also Atonement. There's a visual sense to Joe Wright's movies which I can't help but fall in love with. There's Douglas was talking about the fluff, the extra of the Kitty and what's his name? Constantine love, which didn't make any sense. But regardless of whether you want to figure out where it falls in the story, which I'm not going to tell you because Damien's going to give that to you in a minute. There are certain scenes in this movie to deal with that storyline, which I wouldn't give up for the world just because of how touching and how beautifully put together those scenes are. The moment that they finally decide that they're going to actually get married, and they're going to that conversation that happens over, I don't know if there's a special word for it, those blocks, where he asks, "Did No Mean Never?" Like, literally, I was on the edge of my seat, cheering for these people. And this is what I kind of feel is why I like this movie this much, is that this is a romance story, right? And I don't know if it's because I'm dead inside, but most romance stories don't really do it for me. They always feel like they're pandering to women and going, "Look, this is the ideal thing that you want in your life of your romance. You want the man to sweep you off your feet. You want all this." And I just go like, sure, that's fantasy, but it doesn't really affect me. This movie, I was cheering for all of these stories to work out. I mean, you have the even Douglas mentioned the beginning when she goes to counsel her brother's wife, who's played by Kelly MacDonald, one of my favorite actresses working now. She's on Boardwalk Empire, and she was in Brave, as well as some other things. Like, the moment I saw her and I saw what was going on with it, I knew where they were going with that point of being, do you have enough love in your heart to forgive him? Because that's what love is. I knew where they were going with that as it was going to come to the end of the movie. But just the presence of that moment with Kelly MacDonald, and like I'm saying, it just won me over and had me there cheering for these characters to get their happy endings. Which Damien can twist that as much as he wants. It's great. We've already talked the visuals to death. There's a point where there are chandeliers literally coming down from the sky. Every moment that they remind you, guys, we're talking about a stage, it had me. Right? This is the movie where I can look at it and say, you had me at hello to it.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you now why I have a serious love-hate relationship with this one. The things that Douglas is complaining about, I think, are ludicrous. I think Douglas is high and drunk. The visual style in this movie is nothing short of spectacular. And I don't know if it's getting nominated for anything, but if it doesn't win Best Director, everyone can go find us.
It didn't get Director. It got Art Direction, I think, and Costume. I don't think it got anything else.
This should win both those categories.
It's a Victorian movie. And of course it got Costume.
Well, of course. And it should win Best Direction, because I've never seen anything like this. This is a one-of-a-kind movie in terms of the things that he puts on screen. It is, I think this is one of the movies that people should use as like a reference film for their home theater setups, just to show people that, look, if you spend enough money and take your home theater seriously, this is what you can get out of your home. Because the colors, everything. Watching this movie is not my issue with this movie. I loved watching this movie. I loathe this story. Not only because I've seen it 100 billion times, but because I have older sisters, I've grown up with a lot of women. I can only see this movie from a male's perspective, which is Anna is a whore.
you're saying that she should never be accepted back into society.
No, that is yes, that is what I'm saying, but that is not the reason I hate this story. This story was written by a man a billion years ago, and women love this story. They love Anna. A lot of women can see themselves in Anna, not doing the things that she's done, but they don't see what she's done as villainous. Like Douglas was saying, like I was joking earlier that, you know, we should make women who cheat on their husbands outcasts. But especially in a country like Jamaica, that is impossible, because Jamaica has a society that has men who brag about how many baby mothers them have and how many children them have. Like, it is kind of ridiculous. So when women do the same thing, there's nothing that can be said. Women, at least in Jamaica, are almost, and in some cases more than equal to men. So it will never be the case where woman cheats on her husband and she's outcast. But there's things that Anna does that are clearly scandalous, and the fact that the husband, it is on him to A, defend her, and B, forgive her. All of the forgiveness throughout the whole movie is from the husband's side. And my favorite shot in the entire movie, and this is the case every time I've seen the 900 renditions of this story, my favorite shot is when Jude Law sits out on the stage. He's in his nightgown and he turns to her. He's sitting out on the stage and only the bulbs around him is there, and he says, "What have I done to deserve this?" And then the camera fades to really slowly out until there's nothing. That is my favorite shot. And I want... The reason why I hate the story is because I want that question to be answered. But the person who wrote the book can't legitimately answer the question, because while Tolstoy is a genius, he is not a woman. No matter how hard he tried, he'll never be a woman. And so he can't answer that question for women. And whenever I ask women, why would you do something like that? Because it's all well and good if your husband is a terrible man or has some big character flaw, and you find some young guy and then you leave with him. But then the fact that Anna keeps pushing, that is the part that I can't, like, that is this section of the movie that I've always taken issue with. The fact that even after she, you know, leaves him, she says, what's his name? Not Alex. I know Alex is the first name, but I don't want to mix them up.
One is
Vronsky.
She says,
Vronsky is now my husband. And, you know, he has to forgive her for that. Then, you know, she wants to see children and she wants this. And she wants and wants. And he has to essentially go, all right. She gets pregnant. She has a daughter for this man. And he has to keep giving of himself. And she is never... like, there's nothing reciprocal about it. She's the one pushing and then demanding, essentially, to be forgiven. Which, every time I read it, I go, what man? There's no man is this pure. There's no man this good anywhere. I understand that the story he's trying to tell is that, you know, because he loved her for so long and she is his wife and he does truly love her, that he's giving more of himself than, you know, is necessary. Just having that there and never get, because I've spoken to my sisters, I've spoken to aunts, I've even spoken to my mother about this story, and essentially I mean again I can't speak for them, I don't know, but it feels like when they watch it, they're like, yeah, men have gotten away with this for years, so now it is essentially women's turn. It is nice to know that even back then there were stories about women doing what men have been doing for years. And my question to them is, you can't cheerlead that. I understand that you want everything to be fair and equal, but it is unfair for you to cheerlead the thing that you know deep down it is wrong, and you accept that what she's doing is wrong, but you still cheerlead her doing it. And that is the reason that I've never ever enjoyed this story. And even though this time it is not this drab, because some of them are, oh my god, some of the adaptations of this are, oh Christ, this one is the best I've ever, in fact, had it been another story, I don't think, like, I'm pretty sure this would have been number two somewhere on my list last year, because just the visuals alone is, like, I'll watch this movie again, despite hating this story, just to watch this movie again. Because it is that, it is majestic to look at. I don't know how he came up with this concept. I don't know how they executed it this well. It is amazing to watch. But I loathe this story. I do not like this story. Right? And I can't explain
you know, why, because I can't explain why women cheerlead it so much, because, and none of us can.
It's the OJ defense.
So we have no idea what we're talking about. I'm sorry, what? Run that by me again, sir. If the glove does not fit, you must
Anna
have
is not a whore.
I don't understand. I'm not following. If
it's
that is the worst analogy you've ever heard.
It's the thing. It's what. It's this thing that's been going on forever, where all of America went, okay, we let OJ go, not because we know he's guilty or not guilty, but because we want it to happen finally for once. We want Black America to get away once.
No, that was Rodney King.
Yes.
OJ got away because he made a rap song.
I hate both of you.
If the glove doesn't fit, then you must quit.
Nope. All right, so this has been the Odd Name Movie Podcast. Everyone should watch this movie.
The OJ defense, that movie?
The OJ defense. Look, don't watch any of the other versions of Anna Karenina.
Watch this version.
There is no one definitive version of this movie. It was made last year, and it is magic. It's beautiful. It is. Douglas has some issues with the movie, which I cannot agree with. My issue with the movie has nothing. Joe Wright could have done nothing about it, unless he was going to write a brand new movie.
And then just call it Anna Karenina somebody else.
Right. And I especially dislike how she resolves her situation.
Yeah.
Because none of the books can fully explain. I've tried reading that book, and the book doesn't explain why she...
Do you know that originally it wasn't a book? It was first, and what Leo Tolstoy did was he wrote these in installments and published them in a newspaper.
How on earth would I have known that, Douglas?
Wikipedia, my friend.
I hate that site more than I hate most people.
What do you have against Wikipedia, Damien?
It is crowdsourced information.
It's mostly right, though.
Yes, but that is the mostly part that I can that I take issue with. I don't like people quoting Wikipedia as if Wikipedia is where the information.
Well, those people are stupid. Whoever quotes Wikipedia in like Douglas a proper, you know,
no,
proper
no,
article
just said
or
it was on Wikipedia.
Wait, no, no,
it
no.
Douglas didn't say.
No, no. Listen,
tell me
one
source
listen.
Wikipedia
wait,
got
wait,
it from.
Wait. Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
A Starry Night on Wikipedia.
Hold on. This is not a report that I have to send to my directors or a research paper that I have to publish in a scientific
you
journal.
You asked me a question
if
why
I
don't like Wikipedia.
If I did that, Wikipedia would only be used as a starting point
damn right.
to the correct source.
Yes. What is the correct source? I have no idea. Never read that far. No one ever reads where the hell this information is from. From bullshitters.org. Well, I guess that's where they keep all the information. Jamaica was founded in 1912. That makes sense.
So yeah, guys, this has been the LA Movie Podcast.
Guys, you should really watch this movie. It's great. Douglas is finding things that's wrong with this movie, but even Douglas will tell everyone.
No, this movie.
Everyone has to see this
movie.
No, I think it's
you
clear.
Have to watch it to at least experience this spectacle
oh
that
my.
It is. And wow. Even though I give it a hard time, it's as I was thinking about it, there's still no way that I can put it. If I had a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. I don't think I could put it anywhere in the bottom half of that scale. I have to work very hard to get it to where I think I would put it at exactly 5 or a little bit above.
So using
five.
Our new scale of 1 to 4, Andrew's a 4. I'm also
no,
a
it's
4.
A 3.
You're a
3.5, 3.75. You know what? Fuck, it's a 4.
Right. I'm 4. Andrew's 4, and you are 3.
Mm-hmm.
You're 3.
No, I don't think... No one cares what you think.
You know what, though? Actually, there's a... You know, now that I think about it, there's an issue with your scale from 1 to 4.
I know.
It needs to be 1 to 5.
No, absolutely
there needs to
not.
Be a middle.
Nope.
There needs to be a midpoint.
That is exactly why I picked 1 to 4. There is no middle.
No movie. There are movies that are...
You're going to get half of the money or 3/4 of the money. You will not get 60% of the money.
No. But then, there are average movies that I don't want to
then
say
give
are
it
good
a two.
Or bad.
Then give it
no,
a one.
No, but that's a two is on the
50%.
Bad side. A two is on the bad side.
50%
has
never. You're
side.
Looking at glass half empty. Look at glass half
no
full.
Half. There is no half.
2 out of 4 is what percent, Douglas?
It's
half.
No,
that
it's
perfectly
not half because there's no zero.
1, 2.
Yes.
3, 4.
Yes.
I have 4 fingers up.
Yes.
What is half?
About,
what
no,
is half
think
of?
Think about it. I can't give it a zero. So no, one has no value.
No, one.
One doesn't have a value.
Of course.
No, it doesn't.
One is terrible. One is a terrible movie that no one should watch. 2 is an average movie. 3 is good. 4 is must see. It is a perfect scale.
This scale is not perfect.
But no one cares. No one cares. Don't watch the movie, you get zero. It's perfect.
Sorry, Andrew, you are trying to get me out of this argument somehow.
For the umpteenth time.
I don't even remember what I was doing.
Good job. Anyway.
No, it's anyways.
I'm
right.
Very sorry. I'm new to this transition.
Right, I was outroing this shit. Anyways. Your name podcast. You can hear this as well as all of our other episodes over at gmanreviews.com. I'm on Twitter at gmanreviews. Douglas is at DJ, I lost his name. And Damien is at Damien_White. Once again, so that you guys please go and do it. Go to the matinee.ca and go and hear my episode with Ryan McNeil where we discuss the FP.
The matinee is Canadian. Can't. Now what? Are listening to anything Canadian.
Isn't the FP
Canada.
Canadian?
No, it isn't. The FP is
Andrew?
Jamaican. The FP is the FP.jm.
Oh, man.
Not
we're adopting you. The FP. We're adopting the FP. Now I know I wish you were right now. Now I'll be